What's up, everybody? This is Zach. I'm back with Justin. What's up, Justin?
What's up, Zach?
Today we are talking, we're going into the physical realm of negligence and releasing of personal information. And this one is Morgan Stanley is being sued for basically getting rid of old computer equipment that still had unencrypted personal information left on the hard drives, which I imagine happens pretty regularly. I mean, especially a company that size, like how many computers do you think Morgan Stanley goes through a year?
A lot. I mean, the root of this was after closing two data centers in 2016.
Oh, so these were probably like servers that maybe had lots and lots of data on them.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have workstations. You might have servers. You could have, it could be
backups and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It could be anything.
And I guess what was really like made this even worse was the fact that like, not only was, so this wasn't like, they did an inventory and they were like, oh, whoops, we didn't check this box when we got rid of this. This information was actually used to, buy, like basically it was fraudulently used, to make purchases and steal. So it wasn't just that sucks, your personal information's gone. It was that the personal information had already been used, and then they tracked down later that it was because of the fact that it had been left on the hard drives. And, yeah. You know, certainly, you know, my other life data, you know, you can't leave anything to chance. You have to destroy this stuff. So there's approved ways of doing that. And like, I think some people think that if you know, like you format a hard drive, like you're good to go, but are you? I don't think so. Right. Like there is ways to recover that.
You know, there's approved, I'm using air quotes right now, but like approved sure. ways to do it. And there's like government standards on how to wipe a hard disk, you know, and doing it to like Department of Defense standards. But like, honestly, like your really only guarantee is like take the flipping hard drive out before you give away the kit. Right. You know, like right.
I mean, how much is a hard drive? Like if you're reselling, my guess is these are probably, I mean, it depends. Like a lot of large companies like that lease computers just because it's so much cheaper. You know, you lease an entire generation, you give everyone a new computer, and then every 2 to 3 years you turn it in. I would think that getting rid of the hard drives would be like step one of this process. Like just don't risk it. And then, you know, the best part is you could have like the folks who have the crappy jobs in the mailroom or whatever, you give them the hard drives, they go downstairs with a sledgehammer and just smash the hell out of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And just completely pulverize it till nothing's left.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I don't think people realize. So, you know, I mean, in my tech support days, which this was, you know, I'm starting to sound old. It was over 10 years ago. And,
you know, like we would have your first job was at 7.
We would have these people come in with like a laptop that just had the absolute crap beat out of it. But they're like, oh my God, like I have to get this data off the hard drive. And we'd send it off to, you know, like Drive Savers or one of these other companies. Yeah. And a hard drive that looked like it was toast. Like it could have been underwater. I mean, literally could have been covered in rust, filled with fungus and other stuff. It's amazing. Those platters are pretty robust. And, you know, most of the time when people think a hard drive is actually broken, the hard drive is actually fine. It's basically a little, the arms that go back and forth and actually read the data off the platter.
That is true.
So, you know, like when you throw away that hard drive, like this damn hard drive isn't working. You throw it in the trash. It's got everything you've ever like put on there, including stuff you probably didn't know was on there. And all it really needed to do is you just had to reseat the, you know, the two, you know, however many arms are reading those platters. And now all of a sudden it's live. Or for not that much money now, you know, I think it's, I don't know, it's less than $1,000. You can get the external, I mean, you need somewhat of a clean room so that you don't, you know, jack it up. But like in theory, someone in their garage, if it was clean enough, could take the platters out, put it on the reader and then pull the data off. What was also, I think, again, another eye-opening, like you would think they'd know better, is a lot of this information was unencrypted. And, you know, it's 2020. Encryption is not out of the reach of certainly Morgan Stanley, but you know, in general, you know, if you go into your Windows machine, you can encrypt your hard drives. And if you don't have that, you probably should. You know, Apple, I think, is trying to move towards encryption on literally everything, but there's definitely ways to protect the data. And Morgan Stanley, a company that handles just oodles of financial and other PII, should probably know better than that and have done more. So unencrypted data just sitting there is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about hard drives and the way hard drives work is like, if any time a piece of data traverses your computer, it's getting written to a sector of the disk.
Somewhere, right?
Right. So, and when you delete something, again, using air quotes, like your computer actually doesn't delete the information. It just deletes the pointer to that information and makes it available to be overwritten with more indifferent information. So I know a lot of companies are, you know, kind of following that path that you said, Zach, which is like Apple's one, right? Where they say they have encryption, like especially on like iPhones and stuff, where, you know, it's natively encrypted. And if you have to delete something or, you know, use it air quotes again, like wipe a disk.
Yeah.
Like they actually don't wipe the disk. They just purge the encryption key from the device. And then their thinking is then at that point with a strong enough cipher that someone wouldn't be able to get that data. But I mean, I'm sure there's people that would argue the other side to it. But I mean, but what we saw here with Morgan Stanley, like I'm really not surprised. Like I think this type of stuff happens all the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
For as much like computers, disks, like hard drives, like all that stuff that just gets passed around all the time. Like I think it happens all the time. It's just like people rarely look, but you know, if you're a threat actor and you get access to what you know to be Morgan Stanley's like computer hand-me-downs, like, yeah, of course you're going to look. Like, I'm curious too.
Oh yeah. I had a laptop that I got through a surplus sale that had a active SIM card in it. So I was able to get like internet and, you know, could do whatever I wanted on there. And I'm fairly certain I don't know where it came from because it was a surplus. They just bought these in lots.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it was from like some sort of government agency. And, you know, I just turned it on thinking like, there's no way anyone was stupid enough to leave this in here. And like, sure enough, I fired it up and it worked fine.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And then I think there's two other things that I think is interesting. One is like, especially now that we've moved towards like solid state drives, like those are so robust, like they will last forever. Like you could pick up a solid state drive that's maybe never been, you know, hasn't been used in forever, or even could be outside in the rain and stuff. Like, you know, how many times have you heard about people who found like thumb drives, like in the bottom of a pond or something and plugged it in and found all the photos or, you know, like memory cards and stuff, like this stuff is there. So, you know, short of physical destruction, it's going to be there forever. So, you know, when you load, I mean, I've got, thankfully I don't use as many thumb drives, but I mean, I know in my work bag, I used to have like four or five thumb drives just for, you know, projects and stuff I was working on. And then now with the move to the cloud, what, you know, cool on your end, you don't have any physical stuff. Maybe you have to lose, but like with Morgan Stanley or one of these other companies, you know, upgrades the server farm and someone forgets to take out the hard drive or something. It's not just, you know, now you have to worry about somebody else managing your data on physical equipment. Cause the cloud isn't a cloud. It's just, you know, I love the saying like, you know, there is no cloud. It's just somebody else's computer. You know, you have to trust that again, you know, those big ones, you know, hopefully AWS or Azure, you know, these huge, companies using these massive data centers are doing everything properly, but who's to say? We thought Twitter was secure. We talked about this last time that, you know, these companies that are supposed to be out in the forefront with all of our data and, you know, they've got these simple backdoors for convenience or laziness.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, this is a totally different soapbox. And frankly, I haven't had enough alcohol to have this conversation, but when you look at like, like the class action lawsuits that come with this and the fines they get paid out. Like the fines, I mean, they might be like $80 fine or $80 million fines or whatever the number is. But like to these companies, like that's like a rounding error on their balance sheet. Like they don't even pay attention to that. And by the way, when you like, you know, try to pay out $80 million over like 3 billion people, like it really doesn't amount to that much. Sadly.
No, so I just got the class action lawsuit for the Google, was it Google Plus, that very short-lived social media platform?
Yeah.
I think they had a $12 million fine or something.
Yes. Yeah. And because I get that one too.
Okay. Yeah. Cause if you friended someone on there, basically they shared your personal contact information unencrypted. So like if I were to have friended Justin, you'd have gotten my email, I think birth date, address and all that stuff without, you know, it didn't tell you that that's what it was going to share. I believe that's what something like that. And I'm getting, I think, you know, they said it's between like $6 and $12 for a payout, which is great. I'm going to get a 4-pack of a good beer, hopefully, or two good beers. And, you know, thanks Google for sharing my information. I can't even tell you how many, first off, if you ever get a class action lawsuit, just fill out the paperwork. Cause what's the worst that happens? Like you get a few bucks here and there, but like you said, it doesn't help us out at all.
Our best bet is probably that you and I pool funds and then buy a 4-pack with that.
Right. Yes, true. It's depressing. And the funny thing is like, you know, I don't know that Google Plus ever did this, but, you know, you think like Twitter and stuff, I forget what the amount of money that they make off of every person, but it's thousands of dollars just based in like, the data that you share with them. So all of the demographic data, the stuff that you buy, the ads you click on, you know, I mean, it drives everything, you know, like obviously we're, you know, a company that advertises digitally. We can target, you know, age, region, you know, interests, you know, if we want to target 25 to 35 year olds who are interested in this in the, you know, Northeast, you can do that. And the reason you can do that is because every time you click on a Google ad, every time you're logged into Facebook, it's just mining all that information from you. And there's good things to it. Like I actually do like a lot of the location service stuff is really convenient and it's handy and it's nice. But then, you know, when something bad happens and you're like, how did this happen? And you're like, oh, right. All that data just goes off. And I don't know, man, we really went off on a tangent here. What the hell were we talking about? Hard drives.
We're talking about Morgan Stanley and hard drives.
Yeah. I mean, think about all those like camera SD cards. Like I've got all these old cards that like I've been trying to find a reader for, like the pre-SD cards from like, because it used to be every single camera basically had its own like proprietary format before SD cards and the CF cards took off. And man, I just had like piles of these cards and I'm like, what the heck's on this stuff? Are these even my cards? Because like, you know, they all look the same. No one writes on them or anything. So
yeah. Yeah, it was like the same idea of trying to find like a Beta or VHS player to watch all those old tapes.
Yeah, I have some stuff when I was doing video production. I've got these old, they were basically enclosed rewritable Blu-rays. They're really cool. But that was like before the large capacity SD cards and other solid state drives. You know, you load it into the giant shoulder. You know, we had Fuji film cameras and they'd use these giant Blu-ray discs that it would burn to, and you'd get pretty damn close to like raw audio and video on it. And I've got a few of those sitting around that have like, you know, probably tons of cool stuff. I think one was a early cut of this documentary I worked on that, you know, could be great behind the scenes stuff. I have no idea how I'd ever read it though, because I don't even know if they make the equipment anymore. My father-in-law does, you know, he's been working in video production for like 30 years now. And he gets contacted all the time by people trying to get reel to reel tapes, like back when you literally had to cut with scissors, you know, and tape film together. And so all these people have this like, you know, there's a specific size and format that was used in television broadcasts, but you know, these people have boxes of it and they want to see what it was, you know, from when they were, you know, starting out. And no one has the read. I mean, I think he has one of the only ones in like all of the state of New York or something, because people reach out to him from like the city and stuff. Wow. To try to capture this stuff. So
it's amazing. Those are the ones that used to have like what they call them, the cigarette burns on them when they like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They probably all reek of booze and smoke from the back rooms. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. News, from what I've heard, news places used to be pretty wild, pretty crazy spots. So, man, it's crazy. Just, you know, it's one of those things like you forget when you take, and I've always been diligent about taking hard drives out of my computer when I get rid of them, but I know they're in a box somewhere at my house and I'm about to move and I haven't seen them yet. So there are hard drives that I've probably collected over the course of like 20 years that I've probably, you know, I'm sure my wife was probably like, what is this crap? And just threw it into a dumpster at some point. And you know, again, fortunately I'm a pretty boring dude. So there's really not that much they're going to find, but there's still probably, I mean, I know when I was early on, I would save passwords on like sheets of, you know, like on a text form or a text document so that I wouldn't have to remember it, you know, before like LastPass and everything. So there's probably accounts in there that maybe are still live. I don't know.
Whatever you do, do not put those out on your curb. Those hard drives, because if Randy's driving by, it's gonna
that's
be
true.
Like,
yeah, you know, he's sniffing around trying to find electronic data from me. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Or you do the alternative. You just load it up with all sorts of bad stuff. So when someone steals it and tries to get the data from it, they just nuke their own system.
Well, you know, a funny story. I had we were kind of talking about thumb drives. I have a single thumb drive that was at one time was used for physical pen testing. And this was this a couple of years old at this point. But I had to like do a presentation and they required a thumb drive and they asked for that thumb drive. They're like, hey, can you just use this thumb drive and put your stuff on that? I was like, well, I mean, you can if you want to. I'm not going to plug it into my computer, but you're more than welcome to plug it into yours. And by the way, I make no promises. I offer no warranties what's going to happen next.
Oh, yeah. We had one. Now that I'm thinking about it, we had a thumb drive like that. Not for hacking, but it was for like trying to recover data. And yeah, I think it had like some sort of like Ubuntu, but it was like loaded with specifically tools to extract data, you know, from the hard drive in raw form and then rebuild it. I don't know what I did with that thumb drive either.
Yeah.
Some sort of Unix system or.
Yeah. This one was, it was basically a malware that got installed on plugin. That was a keylogger that basically dumped out everyone's keystroke by Wi-Fi back to my computer.
Okay. Here you go. Have at it. Crazy. Well, anyways, I don't know that we could have undone anything that happened to Morgan Stanley, but certainly our RedSec could have probably given them a nice evaluation and assessment and told them that this is bad practice and you should probably not leave your hard drives out there. So reach out to us, www.newharborsecurity.com. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Thank you, Justin.
See you, Zach.
See ya.